SS Nazi war criminals who he personally helped hide and escape in America. Besides the photos, he gave me a couple other interesting things, a CIA secret stash cane, and he told me some amazing stories. Some of these stories being that George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's current father, isn't actually who he claims to be. According to Otto Skorzeny, George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father and the 41st president of the United States of America, was really George H. Sherb Jr., the son of Dr. Nikola Tesla's illegal immigrant German-born accountant, George H. Sherb Sr. Okay, both Sherbs were not born in America, but yet George H. Sherb Jr. Was allowed to become the president of the United States. He gave me all the aliases of at least five or six most wanted Nazi war criminals who he personally helped hide and escape in America. Those war criminals being Dr. Joseph Mengele, Alu Brunner, Reinhard Gehlen, Walter Rauf, August Hurt, and Martin Bormann. All right, so based upon all the information that Skorzeny had given to me and all the photos, I did as much research as I possibly could to try to verify the claims and the stories that Otto Skorzeny had told me. So I went to the local library. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you could, tell our listeners of who Otto Skorzeny, who he was, and then also a little bit about Nikola Tesla and what happened to him. And so we get a little bit of a background to these people and how Skorzeny basically stated that Bush was the son of George Scherf, the accountant of Nikola Tesla. But tell us a little bit about these guys' backgrounds so people know if they don't already.
Otto Skorzeny was a giant of a man. He stood over 6'4" tall, and he was extremely intelligent. He spoke at least six different languages. He was Adolf Hitler's personal bodyguard. All right, one of Otto Skorzeny's claim to fame is when he rescued Mussolini from captivity high up in the Grand Sasso Alps in Italy. He flew in with a team of gliders, a glider squadron, silently to this hotel where Mussolini was being kept, and he kicked down the radio door. He machine gunned the radio so they couldn't call out for help, and he and his squadron rescued Mussolini. And then they put Mussolini in an aircraft that they had waiting for him, and they took off, and they brought Mussolini back to Hitler. All right, for doing so, Otto Skorzeny received worldwide notoriety for being one of the greatest commandos who ever lived. A couple other things, he was involved in the Battle of the Bulge, where Nazis parachuted behind American Allied lines, and they were wearing American uniforms. Okay, Skorzeny was able to basically single-handedly disrupt and wreak lots of chaos on the Americans by turning signs around, road signs, giving orders to American troops, even though he was a German, wearing American clothes. Basically, he was Hitler's right-hand man. He was a commando. He was a soldier. And after he helped fake Hitler's death, after the war, 1945, the day of Hitler's alleged suicide, Hanna Reich, a female SS Nazi pilot, the history books claim that she flew to the Führer bunker the day of Hitler's alleged suicide to try to talk Hitler out of committing suicide. And the history books go on to say that she was unable to do so, so she flew off by herself. Okay, according to Skorzeny, that's not what happened. First, Otto Skorzeny shot a Hitler lookalike right between the eyes. They dug a little ditch outside the Führer bunker, poured some gas, and burned them a little bit. Okay. Then they disguised Hanna Reich's plane to look like a Red Cross relief plane. They painted it white with red crosses on it and all. And Hanna Reich proceeded to load up Otto Skorzeny and Adolf Hitler, and she flew both of them to safety in Austria. Okay, where the Vatican quickly hit off Adolf Hitler. They quickly hit him and Otto Skorzeny for a little while. And then Otto Skorzeny decided to turn himself in to the Americans. All right, he was able to join the American OSS, and he later co-founded the CIA with the help of World War I hero Wild Bill Donovan and SS Nazi George H. Sherb Jr., who was really George Herbert Walker Bush.
Whatever happened to Hitler's wife? Did he ever tell you what happened to her?
I have no idea. I don't know if she actually committed suicide or not. That's one thing he never mentioned anything about.
Okay, so this is all things that he told you on his deathbed. You met him through dating his daughter. So he must have been up. He must have been getting protection from the CIA, you know, and the Vatican for all these years. Because you met him when? In the early 90s, or when was that?
In the late 90s, 1997.
And he was still alive, living in Florida. What was his alias at that time?
Well, never before have I released his last name because I used to care. Now I will. His American CIA alias was Edward Frank Pyzina, P-Y-Z-Y-N-A. So Otto Skorzeny was living under the American alias of Edward Frank Pyzina, P-Y-Z-Y-N-A.
Okay. And so let's get back to this. So you're talking to him on his deathbed, and I asked you this question once before, but it's important. Why do you think he brought up all this information, not only about Hitler being stashed away by the Vatican? Who we know the Vatican placed Hitler into power when you start reading history to begin with, so you know they had a strong connection with him, and they weren't just going to let him die in the bunker after all he did for them. But why do you think he went forward with all this information, especially about the Bush family, which we're going to get into? Go ahead.
Well, a couple of reasons. One, the main reason was he knew he was going to die. He was getting old. I think maybe he wanted to atone for his sins. I guess he knew he was going to meet his maker, and he wanted to get a lot of stuff off his chest. One reason he wanted to expose this information and gave it all to me, basically, was he knew that I was Jewish, and he thought that I would do something about it, because he knows that, you know, Jews don't like Nazis, which, of course, we don't. He went on to, he really felt that he was going to be dying. The main reason was, I guess, too, he didn't like George Herbert Walker Bush, and the entire Bush family. They were screwing him out of money throughout his entire life. All his Nazi comrades were not men of honor like Skorzeny was. Okay, Skorzeny was a man of honor. He earned an honor scar on his left cheek from dueling. They call that a schmiz, S-C-M-I-S-S-E, I think that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. So unlike his Nazi comrades, Skorzeny had honor. He really wanted to get even on his deathbed for George Herbert Walker Bush, disgracing him throughout the years, lying to him, but the main reason was they continually screwed him out of money throughout the years. The entire New World Order government that he helped create, all right, they they went after him and they screwed him out of money. That was his main concern, all right?
Okay.
That's about all I have to say on that.
Yeah, so then he also tells you about the Vatican rat lines, how they brought in all these Nazis, and they sent Hitler in a certain place. Try to trace a little bit where Hitler went after his stay in the Vatican, and then these other four or five Nazis, he was top-level Nazis that ended up in the States. How did they get here, according
to
Skorzeny?
They all started out with the Vatican, of course. They all hit him out, and they pretended to, that they were priests and whatnot. They gave him all fake identities, and they had the current pope at the time vouch for him to get fake identities through the Red Cross. As long as you had a high-ranking member of either the Red Cross or the Vatican to vouch for you during World War II, you could get fake documents created. All right, so the Vatican hit him out. They moved him through South America for a little while, like a lot of the history books say, but then they went directly into the United States, and they're all given jobs, basically, with the American CIA. For those of you out there who don't know anything about the CIA, and most people don't because we're not allowed to know anything about the CIA, here's what the CIA is really about. Okay, after World War II, Hitler's SS Gestapo merged with the American OSS to form the CIA. Okay, and basically all the Nazis took us over from within. Okay, they're all in cahoots, the CIA, with the FBI, the NSA, and the Secret Service. One by one, when J. Edgar Hoover took over the FBI, he fired all the good Americans, and he replaced them with gutless anti-American Nazi sympathizers, most of whom are homosexuals just like himself. Okay, a lot of people don't know that, or maybe they do know, but J. Edgar Hoover was a flaming homosexual, all right? He was a moral sexual deviant. He liked to wear dresses, and he liked to be called Mary. Okay, all of Hoover's employees, once he fired all the good Americans, he hired all homos, like I mentioned, they were known as Hoover's G-men, or Hoover's gay men, or G-men as they like to be called. So anytime you hear about Hoover's G-men, that's really what it meant. It really didn't mean that they were government men. That meant they were Hoover's gay men. Well, anyhow, but with the help of Hoover, they stood by and let the Nazis murder Nikola Tesla. And basically, the Nazis stole Tesla's best inventions. They reverse engineered them. Then they had the best scientific American-made Tesla technology in the world, and they used that along with stolen Holocaust money as leverage to merge the whole SS Gestapo with American OSS to form the CIA. To get back to Tesla, okay, Nikola Tesla, as far as I'm concerned, was the greatest inventor who ever lived. He was born in Croatia in 1856. He came to America, I believe it was in the late 1890s, and became a naturalized American citizen. Okay, during that time, he had an accountant working for him named George H. Scherf Sr. Okay, and George H. Scherf Sr. was a Nazi spy, and he was stealing from Tesla money and his inventions and giving them directly to Adolf Hitler. Okay, there were false stories that because Nikola Tesla had never married, there were false rumors going around that he might have been a homosexual. All right, so Hitler had an idea that he was going to send George H. Scherf Sr.'s son over to work for Nikola Tesla as his secretary, scribe, or assistant to his accountant, who was really his father. Okay, so So Adolf Hitler sends over from Germany George H. Scherf Jr., okay, who was about 14, 15 years old, and he's really working for Adolf Hitler as a spy.
And according to Skorzeny, this 14-year-old is actually George H. W. Bush.
Right. After he's working for Tesla for 2 years, he forges a birth certificate claiming to be the son of Prescott Bush, and he joins the U.S. Navy, even though he's only like 16 years old, and he had to be, I think, at least 17 at the time.
Right. Now, let's just make a connection here so people can follow this. Think about Prescott Bush. If you look in the U.S. congressional record, you will find his strong connections to the Nazi Party, and there is no question about that. So it would have been easy for him to know what was going on and also to forge Bush's birth certificate. Go ahead.
Prescott Bush, okay, he was the current president's grandfather. Okay, he ran the New York Union Banking Corporation, and Hitler was sending stolen Holocaust money to Prescott Bush in America to launder to help create a Fourth Reich in America after World War II. Okay, President Roosevelt found out about this, and he had Prescott Bush arrested for trading with the enemies, and he had his company seized underneath the Trading with the Enemy Act. Okay, so Prescott Bush is a convicted Nazi traitor, and that is a historical fact, although not well known, because the Bush family doesn't want you to know about that.
Right. And that's why not one congressman...
George H. Scherf Jr., okay, who was really George Herbert Walker Bush, while he was working for Nikola Tesla, he was stealing from him. He was given Tesla's top-secret American-made inventions directly to Adolf Hitler to help Hitler win World War II. And Nikola Tesla was friends with a couple artists, okay, who were called Margaret and H.A. Ray. Okay, the Rays were just telling Nikola Tesla about their ordeal escaping from the Nazis when they fled occupied France on their bicycles with basically just the shirts on their back. The Rays were telling Tesla, and they related their experience with the Nazis to a bunch of angry Nazi guerrillas. Tesla laughed, and he claimed that he had a devious, angry Nazi monkey working for him named George. And he told the Rays that this little devious Nazi monkey, who was always curious and stealing from Tesla and getting into trouble, he told the Rays that they should write children's books called Curious George, about a devious little monkey who was always getting into trouble. So that's the real story of how Curious George, the monkey, got started. It was named after Curious George Herbert Walker Bush when he was working for Nikola Tesla and stealing from him to give his best inventions to Adolf Hitler.
Now let's go deeper into his... So he's now 16 years old. He's got phony papers, according to Skorzeny. Then you trace him to going into the Navy. And there's an interesting story. A couple pilots have really testified against George H.W. Bush on some of his actions when his plane went down, and they claim that he actually killed his fellow servicemen on board the plane. Tell us this story.
All right, Bob, I was able to track down eyewitness testimony from a gentleman by the name of Chester Majerski, okay, who was flying with pilot George H. Scherf Jr., who was really George Herbert Walker Bush, the day of Bush's plane crash. Okay, basically, the history books say that George Herbert Walker Bush was flying a TBF Avenger and that his plane got shot down, and he was the only one who was able to parachute out of his plane and make it to safety. Okay, then he went on to become a World War II hero because he got shot down. Okay, that's not the truth. Okay, the truth is, according to Chester Majerski, who was flying right next to Bush, he blames Bush for the abandonment and death of both of Bush's crew members. According to Majerski, Bush's plane was the only plane that didn't make it back in that day. Okay, he saw Bush, okay, slide open his canopy and bail out, leaving his tail gunner and radio man and his plane to die. Okay, he claims that Bush violated the primary rule for a captain of a multi-crew aircraft. The pilot never leaves the plane with anybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's other eyewitnesses that saw Bush jump out of his plane and parachute out and intentionally basically murder his two crew members to falsely establish a reputation of being a World War II hero. And unfortunately, there were high-ranking officers in the U.S. Navy who were on Hitler's payroll, okay, who were basically looking out for young George. And instead of court-martialing him for treason, and either hanging him or shooting him the way they should do with all people who commit treason, they gave a Medal of Honor and gave him a promotion. And they it was wartime nerves or something. But basically, Bush violated the primary rule of a captain of an aircraft. He left before anyone else did, and he deliberately killed his two crew members to falsely claim later on in life that he was a World War II hero to help him establish a foot in the door in politics in America. And that's the real story about the pilot, the coward, and the murderer, George Herbert Walker Bush, and how he killed his two crew members, William White and John Delaney.
Now, Majerski, Majerski's testimony, has it ever been refuted by Bush? Has he ever acknowledged that his fellow pilots saw this take place?
He has never acknowledged this, and this information was directly from a New York Post article that anyone has access to. This is all public record. Of course, at the time, there were people in the Navy that said that, oh, Bush is a hero, and Bush got shot down, and they said that everyone else was wrong except for George Herbert Walker Bush. But those are all part of the New World Order, who are basically Nazi sympathizers looking out for George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah, and that's a fast track to, a war hero, fast track into politics, fast track into infiltration into a government system. And the one thing that really makes me believe your story beyond a reasonable doubt is that the way the Congress handles the Bush family, they do not mention anything negative about this U.S. Congressional Record reports regarding the Bush family's connection to the Nazis. Now, how can we allow a family to gain so much power in our country when they started off as Nazi sympathizers and actually should have been, Prescott Bush should have been tried for treason? So when you don't see anybody criticizing them in Congress, you don't see any of this come out. You know they're all on the take. And so I have a tendency to believe that this story about George H.W. Bush goes very deep, and Scorzini is someone who had nothing to lose. Now, why do you believe it was? Tell our listeners who may say, well, how is Eric sure it was Scorzini? Go back to this initial conversation, and weren't you shocked a bit when this occurred, and how did you handle it, and why did you believe this man so, 100%? Like you say.
Well, when I first met him and I shook his hands, he had the largest hand I'd ever shaken. For an old man, he was still very tall and imposing. Okay, and once he told me who he was, he told me where I could find, different photos and whatnot, and I did. I went to my local library, like I previously mentioned, and I went to the Internet, and I dug up as much or as many photos as I possibly could of Otto Scorzini, and I matched up these photos to the man I was speaking to, and there was no doubt about it that the man who was still alive, okay, was the man in these history books from the 1930s and 40s who the history books claim died in 1975. Basically, the CIA faked Scorzini's death, as they do with all their Nazis who had worked for them, and then they act as secret government employees or spook employees. Okay, the government falsely claims that Joseph Mengele is dead, and Mengele is still running around killing people. Okay, according to Scorzini, Dr. Joseph Mengele is the San Francisco Zodiac killer and the real Boston Strangler, who has never been caught, and he is also responsible for mailing the deadly anthrax in 2001. Mengele's American alias is Stephen Rabel, and I've tracked him down. He used to live in Hernando, Florida, until the U.S. Justice Department Office of Special Investigation tipped off Mengele that I contacted them about him. He has since moved from Hernando, Florida, and he lives in South Carolina today. Okay, he is very much still alive, and the government refuses to even open up its case, the 2001 anthrax case. They have it sealed and it's closed because they know, because I've contacted them many times, they know it was one of their employees, basically a renegade CIA insane chemist named Joseph Mengele, who they claim is dead, is the one responsible, and he is basically a CIA/Vatican assassin who the government denies exists. He gets to go around killing people on Bush's orders or Congress's orders or anyone else's orders. And then those cases, the people he murders, they never get solved because they're not allowed to. Basically, the White House leans on every other policing agency. Then they have the FBI write a mandate stating that all Nazis are basically good. This was not committed by anyone important, and just, you know, mums the word. And that's how all these cases have never been solved. You know, no one has ever been tried or convicted for the San Francisco Zodiac Killer murders. No one has ever been tried or convicted for being the Boston Strangler. Actually, DeSalvo confessed to being the Boston Strangler, but the night he was going to recant his confession to being the Boston Strangler, he was murdered in jail, and no one has ever been caught for his murder. Right? So no one has ever caught the Boston Strangler, the Zodiac Killer, or the 2001 anthrax mailer killer. That should be telling people something, that there is something going on, that the government is 100% corrupt. You know, they're protecting the Bush administration by not allowing this case to be solved, the 2001 anthrax murders, because once it gets solved, they'll realize that it was, in fact, Joseph Mengele, who is a CIA employee and is, in fact, good friends with George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father, and the entire Bush family. Okay, in my book, Skorzeny gave me photos. Okay, I have photos of George Herbert Walker Bush, Prescott Bush, with Joseph Mengele, Otto Skorzeny, and Reinhard Gehlen. Okay, so they're all in cahoots with each other. Okay, the CIA falsely claims that all these Nazis are older than they really are. They're not. A lot of them were young. They might have been 18 and 20 in 1944, 1945. So a lot of them are still alive. They're in their mid-80s. Some are in their 90s, but they are very much still alive. They're going around mailing anthrax on Bush's orders and the government orders to help create false flag syndrome so Bush can go out.
Eric, we're going to take a three-minute break, then we'll be right back on the Investigative Journal.
I need to stop. I shed tears to let it
go. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligent, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, a secret society. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
We'll be right back.
Okay, it's good to be back for the second half hour of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I want to mention a program note here. We have a new affiliate to the Investigative Journal, 92.7 FM in Bentonville, Arkansas, and we welcome you aboard. And any of you listeners that ever want to talk to me, I have an open line on Fridays. You can call me at any time, or if you want to talk to Eric Orion today, call me at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. One more note before we get back to Eric. There's been a lot of talk about Rome and Freemasonry and the connection between the two, and I've talked about it for a long time. I was happened to be in Rome. I worked there as a correspondent for 6 years during the 80s and was there during the Vatican Bank scandal when it was very evident that the over 150 high-ranking Vatican members were outed for being members of a Masonic P2 Lodge. That hasn't ended, folks. And there'll be something on my website at arcticbeacon.com, ArcticBeacon.com, this week talking about the connection between the Vatican and Freemasonry and how that is alive and well, and in America, a very dangerous proposition. We'll be talking about that in the shows to come. Let me get back to Eric. This is such an interesting story, Eric, and we left off the point where you've now laid a background of what Scorzini told you, and you're telling us why you believe him so much. You're talking to this man who's dying in Florida. You're dating his daughter. Tell us again what he told you about Bush, and this for those who are just tuning in, just quickly, and also about many of the you talked about Mengele, many of the Nazis, but about some of the others that are here also. Go ahead.
All right, basically, Otto Scorzini told me that George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father, was not born in America. He was the son of Dr. Nikola Tesla's illegal immigrant German-born accountant. Okay, his actual name was George H. Scherf, Jr., that's S-C-H-E-R-F-F.
Mm-hmm.
He was working for Nikola Tesla, stealing from him and giving his inventions to Adolf Hitler. Okay, later, he forged a birth certificate claiming he was older, and falsely claiming to be the son of Prescott Bush. He joined the U.S. Navy. He wanted to be a pilot. He received notoriety, all right, for crashing his plane and becoming a World War II hero. But unfortunately for his two crew members, he intentionally killed his two crew members by intentionally crashing his plane. Okay, George Herbert Walker Bush's guilty conscience, okay, made him into a heroin addict. Okay, that's how he earned his name, Poppy. Okay, for those of you who don't know how George Herbert Walker Bush earned his nickname Poppy, that's why. Okay, he was always smacked down on heroin and opium to escape his guilty conscience, and he probably still is. Okay, all the Nazis, I mentioned a few of them that Otto Scorzini told me about, that Otto Scorzini helped hide and escape in America. He had photos of them, at least 60 years worth, of different Nazis, some being the Dr. Martin Bormann was Hitler's banker, okay, so he was in charge of all of Hitler's trillions of dollars of stolen Holocaust money, okay. Walter Rauch was a horrible SS Nazi Gestapo agent. He would drive around the Polish ghettos. He would herd Jews and gypsies and Polish people into the back of these mobile gas-killing vans, and he drove around in mobile exterminating vans, all right, and he's still around today. Reinhard Gehlen was basically Hitler's spy master. He had lots of information about the Russians after World War II, so the American government thought that he would know a lot and be an asset to the American government, and that's what they thought about all these Nazis. Basically, the American government had a program which was illegal. It was called Operation Paperclip, and what it was, Otto Scorzini was the head of this. Scorzini was tried and acquitted at the Nuremberg trials. So after World War II, he was not a wanted Nazi war criminal. Okay, however, he personally helped hide and escape all the Nazis who were war criminals. He helped them hide and escape in America. He gave them all jobs in the CIA, the FBI, and the U.S. Post Office, and other jobs meant for American citizens. Alu Brunner also worked as a SS Gestapo agent, along with Reinhard Gehlen, Martin Bormann, August Hurt, and Dr. Mengele. They all took part in the assassination of President JFK, Okay, according to Otto Skorzeny, George Herbert Walker Bush is the badge man on the grassy knoll. Otto Skorzeny was standing next to him, wearing a military man's uniform. Reinhard Gehlen was supposed to be up in the book depository building where Oswald was, and according to Skorzeny, there was a third shooter down in the sewer, and that was Joseph Mengele. And Oswald was definitely a patsy, and he got away with it. He got away with murder. The Nazis got away with murder and basically blamed Oswald for it. That's what happened. Then they had Jack Ruby murder Oswald before you could talk about how he really worked for the CIA and who really set him up and whatnot. According to Skorzeny, Skorzeny and Reinhard Gehlen murdered Dr. Nikola Tesla before they took his best invention plans and had him explain how they worked and whatnot. Okay, they were able to take his best invention plans back to Nazi Germany before the end of World War II, and they now had and perfected Nikola Tesla's he had all kinds of amazing inventions. An earthquake machine, he had a death ray, he had several other amazing inventions for free energy devices, an alleged optical, invisible flying aircraft, like a flying disc kind of thing. I say allegedly because I don't know if it's true or not, but Skorzeny said it is true. And so now Nazi Germany had best, most secret, top secret American-made Tesla technology in the world that was better than the American-made Tesla, American-made technology. And they were able to use that stolen American-made Tesla technology along with stolen Jewish Holocaust money as leverage to merge the whole SS Gestapo with American OSS to form the CIA after World War II. And basically, the Nazis in the CIA, along with George Herbert Walker Bush, their foreign-born leader, have taken America over from within, and they're spreading Christian and Catholic fascism instead of American democracy. And they're getting away with it. All right,
yeah,
Bush needs to stop. He needs to be held accountable, and he needs to be impeached, and he needs to be tried for treason and his war crimes, along with Cheney and Rice.
Now, you were talking to Skorzeny. Skorzeny died since, correct?
As far as I know, Skorzeny died on December 31st, 1999.
And tell us, after he gave you this information and all those photos, what happened to you? What, you know, your personal story on trying to get this information out. I know it's culminated in a book you have with a number of photos in it called The Bush Connection. We'll tell people how they can get a hold of that. But tell us your private story, what happened after you were given this information, what you did.
Well, I tried to do the right thing by contacting our so-called American government. I was able to track down a division of the government that claims that they are the ones who go after Nazi war criminals, and they either, you know, prosecute them, you know, bring them to justice, or they deport them, or whatever. That's known as the U.S. Justice Department, OSI, or Office of Special Investigations, okay, and it's headed by Eli Rosenbaum and Bruce Schwartz. Okay, so I contacted them. I sent them several faxes. The time frame for this was around April of 2003, right about the time I got the copyright on my book, The Bush Connection. Basically, I told them that I had 60 years' worth of information of wanted SS Nazi war criminal terrorists, and I have photos. I have their names, addresses, and current CIA American aliases, you know, and 60 years of photos. And I got a call back from one of their lackeys. They didn't even have the guts to call me directly or to speak to me. They had someone, he never gave me his name, the person who called me back. He asked me a bunch of questions. I told him about Otto Skorzeny and my whole story about he made this confession. Then he asked me how tall he was, and I said he was 6'4" tall. Then he went silent for a minute, and he said, and then he assured me everything that I was told was wrong. All the Nazis are dead, and I have nothing to worry about. That's what he told me. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. And so I hung up the phone. The very next day, there was an attempt on my life. I had been leaving my girlfriend's house at the time, who was Skorzeny's daughter, all right, Lori, all right, she was in the car with me, and someone had pulled up behind us flashing their lights, so I just ignored them, and they kept flashing their lights. I decided, okay, I'll pull over and see what the idiot wanted, knowing that there would probably be some kind of attempt on my life. Okay, I pulled over to the side of the road. I left my car in drive with my foot on the brake, all right, and I saw a small, like 5'4", 5'5", Latino-looking guy with a gold tooth came up towards my bumper with his hand cuffed. All right, so I floored it. All right, I took off there like a bat out of hell just to see what he would do. All right, so he ran back into his car, hopped in, and he chased after us. All right, I was able to drive through like three lanes of crowded traffic, through a red light, and into a public shopping plaza where there was lots of other people around. So I knew if it was crowded, you know, they would be less inclined to take me out or try to shoot me. You know, he pulled up next to me, gave me a dirty look, then he drove away. The very next day, he pretended to be a buyer for their house. I was the listing agent for the house at the time. He came by pretending to be a buyer with another one of his friends, and he didn't really say much. He gave me some dirty looks, nodded me up, and that was about it. But since then, I've been very public about all these photos in my book, and so far that I'm aware of, there haven't been any recent attempts on my life. But I want to make it clear that, yes, the American government put a hit out on me, and that was Eli Rosenbaum and Bruce Schwartz from the U.S. Justice Department Office and Special Investigations. Okay, they are pieces of crap in my book. Okay, they're guilty of conspiracy to commit murder, my murder, and they're the ones who are protecting these Nazi war criminals, including Joseph Mengele, who is known to be the anthrax mailer, the San Francisco Zodiac killer, and the real Boston Strangler. These bastards in our government who belong to the New World Order, all right, are all protecting them, the Nazis.
Right, and you
that's
say Mengele
in
now
personal
in,
life.
Mengele is now in North Carolina?
As far as I know, Mengele now lives in South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay.
He was living in Hernando, Florida, all right, for many years until the government tipped him off that I had contacted them about him.
And Hitler, Skorzeny told you about Hitler, that he really didn't die in the bunker like they say he didn't. They say he did. He's taken to the Vatican, from the Vatican to America. Did he live in America, according to Skorzeny?
Yes, according to Skorzeny, he lived at Camp David most of his life. He lived at the Bush Ranch, and he also liked to frequent Glacier National Park in Montana and several other national parks like the Grand Canyon and other places. All right, according to Skorzeny, and I have photo evidence to prove this, after Skorzeny faked Hitler's death with the help of Hannah Reich, Hitler's female SS Nazi pilot, Hitler came back to America with all his stolen Holocaust money and with the help of Martin Bormann, his banker, and basically the whole Third Reich, which is now working as the CIA, and they took all the stolen Holocaust money and all the stolen Tesla technology back to America, and he lived like a king. Adolf Hitler, okay? His American alias was William Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S, and he lived to be the oldest man in America until his death in February of 2004. He died in Bethesda, Maryland. However, you won't be able to find any photos of him anywhere. Now, you would think as the oldest man in America at one time, at 114, there would be some photos of him anywhere, but there's not. All right, so despite what the CIA written history books say, Adolf Hitler did not commit suicide in his bunker. All right, they basically faked his death, brought him to America with stolen Tesla technology, stolen Holocaust money, and that too has been funding the Bush family campaign and basically all the Republican campaigns and Democratic campaigns since the end of World War II. They've all been funded with stolen Holocaust money, and that's who the New World Order really is. Basically, Hitler from within sent his best Nazi spy over to America, George H. Scherf Jr., who posed as George Herbert Walker Bush, Prescott's son. He got his foot in the door in Republican politics. And basically, the whole Bush family has taken us over from within with Adolf Hitler's help.
Yeah, with the help of the Vatican, of course, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah, in the Vatican, yes.
Yeah, now, you know, it's very obvious. You know, if you look into history, folks, if you have some doubts about the connections to Hitler and the Vatican, go to my website at arcticbeacon.com. You'll see a little link there that says hard to find books and documents. You can read about Hitler's connection to the Vatican, how he was installed as their puppet, and how George Bush is the same puppet as Hitler was to the same hierarchy of the Vatican, who helped bring and protect these people. According to Skorzeny, how did Hitler stay unnoticed? Did they do a face job on him, or what did they do? Did he ever say anything to you about that?
All they had to do was shave off that stupid little mustache, you know, and that was it. You know, the American government stated that he was dead, and that was it. You know, anytime he was sighted in public, which he was, he liked to roam around in public, and there were lots of sightings of Hitler, but they were all written off like Elvis sightings or a UFO sighting. Oh, it's Adolf Hitler. Americans say he's dead, so he must be dead. Now, however, right. The Russians never accepted the Americans' claims that Hitler was dead. They never bought the fact that that was Hitler's corpse that they found half-burned over there. And in the American archives, okay, at the end of World War II, the Americans and the Germans, okay, signed an agreement called the Rhymes-Germany Surrender Agreement. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, on the front page of that, there's no actual surrender year for Germany to surrender to the Americans. It's been smudged off of there and erased. Okay, and that's the one the Americans keep in our archives. Okay, the next day, Germany surrendered to the Russians, and they call that the Berlin Surrender Agreement. And on that agreement, there is a surrender year of 1945 on that. So that clearly evidences is that Germany did not, in fact, surrender to the Americans. They merged with the Americans to help fight the Russians. Okay, but they did, in fact, surrender to the Russians. And basically, they merged with us to help fight the Russians, and they took us over from within in the form of the CIA, with George Herbert Walker Bush leading the way.
Yeah. And, you know, just listen to that little tape we played at the break of Kennedy speaking about these people, about these secret societies, and then listen to Bush's comments. And if America doesn't believe this, just listen to what that man said. It's too secret to tell you what's going on in our government now. So you know what? We need people like Eric to come forward with information, because these people in government, the people in the Vatican, the people in our media will not tell you really what's going on. And we have to do it ourselves. And I think by now, at least the listeners of this show understand the major task ahead of us, and that is to begin researching this from a historical point of view first, to settle your mind, and secondly, to begin to listen to a fellow Americans who are finding out information like this. So getting back to George H.W. Bush, not one of my favorite people, of course, here's a guy who was the President of the United States. He lied to you when he was president, stating that he was never in the CIA before he became director in 1970. That has been proven to be just a bold-faced lie. That, to me, is enough to get rid of the man. When he was numerous, in fact, there was even documents uncovered with his name on it stating he was an agent back in the 60s. I've had a New York police detective who had information that Bush was in the mafia, was in the CIA prior to 1970. So how can you believe anything this man says if he lies when he's president about his background in the CIA? And he did comment about that George Bush statement on a CIA document in 1962 or 3. He said there was another George Bush in the CIA. But that other George Bush never came forward. So, who are you going to believe, America? Eric Orion, an American citizen? Or are you going to believe a liar like George Bush? I choose to believe Eric Orion. And the story about Otto Skorzeny is a fascinating one, because it never added up to me, Eric, how Hitler was killed. And I've seen the historical documents regarding what was going on then with the war. And if you understand, if the war was orchestrated, Hitler knew what was going on, and he was going to be protected. And it never made sense to me that he committed suicide. Then they burned him right outside his bunker with his wife. What about you?
Well, I never believed that anyway. But I was amazed to have these photos that were given to me by Otto Skorzeny. And I encourage everyone to visit my website and check them out for yourself. So you don't have to believe anything that comes out. Look at the photos, all right? Let the photos prove to you that everything I'm telling you is the truth. My website is www.thebushconnection.com. I have a book. It's called The Bush Connection. It's available for $20. It's on a CD-ROM. But check out my website. There's ordering information. And look at the photos for yourself. And everything that he told me, I researched. I've had experts research it. I've had Greg and several other investigative journalists research all this, and no one's ever come back and accused me of providing false information or false photos. And this is the truth. I mean, the government tried to kill me for these. It's the real deal.
Yeah, and so basically then you left the House, you started going public. You didn't end up marrying this woman, did you?
No, she actually broke up with me because she never knew that her father had made this confession to me and gave me all these photos. She was actually tipped off by the government that I had contacted them about her. These are actually all her uncles. These wanted Nazi war criminals. Mm-hmm. Well, my ex-girlfriend's former uncles, which sounds amazing. That's the truth.
And what did her mother
do? She broke up with me. She wasn't sure what my real motivation was, but she gave me some lame excuse. But that was the real reason, that she knew what I was up to, and she wasn't sure what my real motivation was. So I guess she got scared.
Now, Skorzeny, was he married, and what did his wife say to this? Did she ever comment about what information he gave to you?
She never acknowledged it either. However, I have a photo of her along with Skorzeny, Mengele, and his wife from Hitler's eagle's nest. They're sitting in the big window. All right. So she was a Nazi too, for sure. Her mother. She works for the CIA. I'm not sure in what capacity, but he was never wanted. You know, Skorzeny was never a wanted war criminal, so neither would his wife. As far as I know, she's still alive. She's about 84, I think. But all these other Nazis are all her relatives, and they're all still alive. Joseph Mengele is still alive. All right, his name is Stephen Rabel, right? R-A-B-E-L, and he lives in South Carolina. All right, he's the
what is that?
Of the
Stephen Rabel? Okay. R-E-B-O?
Steve, R-A-B-E-L, Rabel, R-A-B-E-L.
R-A-B-E-L.
S-T-E-V-E-N, Stephen Rabel.
Hmm.
And I have photos of him. I got photos on my website with Stephen Rabel, who was the Zodiac Killer. He's got a big anthrax sore on his left hand, and he's wearing his white Zodiac Killer robe. All right, come on now, people. The government knows about this, but they deny he exists because he works for them. He's a government killer known as a spook, a CIA/Vatican spook assassin.
Right.
But he is still alive.
What did, just in our last minute or two, I've never asked you this. What did Skorzeny ever talk to about the Vatican connections here?
Well, other than the fact that they helped hide out some of the Nazis, actually most of the Nazis, he wasn't too specific, but they said once they Hannah Reich flew him to safety, they went right to the Vatican and they hit him out, and they basically hit out all the Nazis. They had rat lines, as they called them, and the different popes and the different bishops, they thought it was great helping out the Nazis because anyone who doesn't like the Jews were a friend of the Vatican, and that was their ultimate goal, basically, was to exterminate the Jews. So that's why the Vatican was helping the Nazis.
Yeah, and that still exists today. I mean, their goal today with the war that they've planned together with the CIA, the Mossad, and all the intelligence agencies working together, folks. Yes, along with the government officials in all these countries working together. You're seeing now a genocide of Muslims, over a million Iraqis killed. You're going to see the same thing with the Jews in Israel, in America, and also Christians. And that's their goal, and that's what this war is all about in a nutshell. And, you know, just more of this historical information you give lays credence to this. I just wondered what you thought about the world situation today, Eric, in the last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I think we're in a dire situation where Bush is trying to wage a holy war. Basically, it's a war against Islam, you know, Christianity versus Islam, where he thinks he has the right. He thinks he's a messiah. And to go out into the Middle East and basically exterminate the Iraqis, the Afghanistan people. Now he wants to go in there and wipe out the Iranians. You know, enough is enough. You know, how much oil does he need?
Mm-hmm.
If he's going after their oil supplies, why aren't the prices low? You know, he goes after them to seize control, then he gets to raise the prices, you know, lower the supplies, and they claim that we need alternatives for oil, which is ridiculous. I don't know a solution to this. We need to impeach Bush. Bush and Cheney need to be impeached. Impeach him immediately. Let him be tried. And hopefully the next person that takes over won't be connected with the New World Order. But good luck, because I guess they're all pretty well connected. The only one I would like to see for president would be Joe Biden. I think Senator Joe Biden from Delaware would make a great president.
Okay. Well, listen, Eric, thanks again. And that's the Bush Connection, www.thebushconnection.com. Get that book. And, Eric, thanks again. Okay, that was Eric O'Ryan. We'll be back with Tony Gambino of the Gambino Crime Family. Also joining me is Eric John Phelps, who will help with questions. Mr. Gambino, back in 3 minutes.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Okay, good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and my guests this hour are Eric Phelps. He's author of Vatican Assassins, and he's going to help me. We brought back on Tony Gambino, and it's Tony Thomas Gambino of the Gambino crime family, and we're waiting for Tony to come on the air right now. We're giving him a call right now. And the reason we have Tony back is he's telling some incredible stories about how the Vatican, how the U.S. government and the Mafia work together. Now, Tony Gambino is Lucky Luciano's grandson. He's also one of the higher-level members of the Gambino crime family. He spent 20 years in jail. He's just out now and wants to tell America, in a sense, really how this whole operation is working in the New World Order. We're still waiting for him to come on the line. But anyway, Eric, you're there right now, right?
Yes, Greg. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
Right. Let me just check. Is Tony there? Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Tony's here. Okay, good. So anyway, Tony, let's get right to it. And let me explain what we're going to do this hour. Eric Phelps is with me, and you know Eric quite well.
How are you doing, Tony?
And I think together we're going to provide some shocking information to the American people, information that's so vital because it comes from somebody who has worked with the crime family, the Gambino crime family, worked with the U.S. government in a sense. The Vatican is involved in this whole thing. And what it does is it kind of puts things into perspective from someone like you who has nothing to lose, nothing to gain, but just wants to set the record straight. Eric, just lay the groundwork here so people understand, because this is Tony's second visit to this show, and we're going to get into a few of the comments listeners had regarding Tony's credibility. But just state the ground rules here, because we do have to protect him also, and I think it's important that people know that. Go ahead.
Yes, I feel that we should, when we ask questions of Tony, that we not ask anything specific that might be used against him in a possible future trial, or that he could be subpoenaed to provide evidence in a future trial of some mafia don, because if that would be the case, they would order his death, because no evidence in the way of living testimony will be given. So when we ask him questions, we would hope the listeners realize that these questions have to be in kind of a general venue, and we can't ask specifics as to what Tony actually did and where he was and et cetera, because this would endanger him. So we have to try to interview him as clearly and as possible, but without doing him a damage or giving the Department of Justice any meat by which they can prosecute.
And, you know, before I open up the questioning and you ask Tony the first question, I just want to mention this. You are a preeminent researcher. I've followed your work. You've had a chance to talk with Tony in depth much more than I have, and I want to use you as a source, too. Now, do you believe Tony Gambino and what he's been telling us on this show?
Yes, I do. I believe he's who he says he is. And he confirmed it to me when I had him over for lunch one day, and he made a special Sicilian batch of Sicilian meatballs.
Okay. Eric, why don't you start it off? Tony's on the line, and get us going, because I know you have some questions prepared, as I do.
Okay, what I would like to ask you, Tony, is what we talked about earlier.
Excuse me, man.
Yes.
Before you ask me any questions, okay, I want to verify a couple of things that came across that a couple weeks ago when I was on this gentleman's show the first time, where he said he had listeners call him back and they said that Lucky Luciana didn't have no children. My grandfather had 7 daughters, and he kept every one of them protected. He let the world know that he did not have any children because he kept his family protected.
Okay.
He didn't have any boys, he had girls. And
okay.
When my, like I said before, to this day, I don't know which one of his daughters was my mother. She was married to another gentleman. And when he brought Carlos Thomas Gambino into his family to become the head of the 5 crime families in New York City, he needed a bond. He wanted a baby boy. so he can lay strictly underneath him. I live with my grandmother, and he raised me.
Okay.
I don't have no grounds living under Carlos Thomas Gambino's roof. It was, we didn't have a father and son relationship, nor did I know who my mother was. I worked strictly underneath my grandfather. I was higher than the godfathers that he put out in different cities throughout the United States.
Okay. And then you ended up in the Gambino crime family.
No, I didn't wind up in the Gambino crime family.
Okay.
What I had to do was I had to keep the Gambino crime family straight, because Carlos Thomas Gambino started messing up. The more money people make, the more greed they get.
Mm-hmm.
See, each one of his bookies that he put out on the streets in the city of New York in these different bars, he was getting $150,000 a month from Carlos Thomas Gambino for the 250 bookies that he had on the street. He was getting $150,000 up front, top money, and then Carlos Thomas Gambino made his profit, and his bookies made profit, but he took $150,000 off of each one from the top.
Okay.
Now, what happened was I had to put spotters in these bars from Sicily. I was told to come leave Sicily because the $150,000 dropped down to $100,000. Then it went down to $75,000. Then it went down to $50,000. And Carlos Thomas Gambino tells Lucky Luciana that his bookies were losing customers. So we put spotters in the bar. Now, at the time that he was collecting this $150,000, each bookie had like 200 to 300 customers a day.
Okay.
Now, I put spotters in the bar. The spotters found out that they no longer had 200 to 300 customers. They had 500 customers. So now he's stealing. He's pocketing their money, and he stole money. And this, under this act alone, this is why Carlos Thomas Gambino was knocked off and Paul Casolano replaced him to be the head of the Five Crime Family. And then a maggot called John Gotti in the late 80s, he kills a 90-year-old man and made himself a main man, and that's how John Gotti got to be the head of the Gambino crime family. But no matter who ran the family, under Paul Casolano, John Gotti, it still remained the Gambino crime family.
Okay.
I don't want to run the Gambino crime family because I'm not a Gambino to begin with.
Okay.
He was only a father to me, but he didn't raise me.
Okay, so you were raised by...
I was a bond.
Okay, you were raised by your grandfather.
There was some relationship there.
Okay.
And my real name is Tony Thomas Gambino.
Okay.
I was the oldest boy that he had. And he had to take orders under me.
Okay.
Okay? So let's get the world straight with that. Now,
all right.
And also, let's straighten out the bridge incident about the concrete when Hoffa was buried in concrete.
That's right.
Some people say the George Washington Bridge was built before that time.
Listen to me.
Okay.
When Jimmy Hoffa was put to sleep, there was resting area. The stadium, in New Jersey, the football field. That
okay, so we're talking about the New Jersey football field. Some people thought when you said Veterans Stadium, they meant You meant Philly's baseball stadium.
No,
Go ahead.
The one in New York.
Okay.
It was in the, for New York, but it was built in New Jersey, in New Brunswick.
Okay.
Okay? Now, they were doing that project, and the bridge, the George Washington Bridge, was under reconstruction.
Okay.
Because the bridge was starting to get weak, and the columns were falling apart. So they secured the new columns. The bridge was being reconstructed, and the Met Stadium was being built.
Okay.
The government thought that he went in the Met Stadium. No.
Okay.
He was buried in the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, and tell us what you know about that without telling us how you... Well, even if you weren't involved or were, don't get into that part of it.
Yeah, I know.
Just
but,
tell us what you found out about how he was killed.
Well, see, he was in a truck stop on 295 South before the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
Okay.
In South New Jersey, right below Camden. If you go down 295, there's a truck stop down there with a campground.
Okay.
He was placed in that campground for 3 days. That's number one. Number two, he allowed John Gotti to hijack trucks.
Okay.
And John Gotti also smoked crack cocaine. He was what I call a B.O.B. I had no time for John Gotti. John Gotti, to me, being a B.O.B., smoking crack cocaine, that's to me, I call him a base-out bitch.
Okay.
His daughter, Victoria, Victoria's kids, his son, young Johnny, which I hope they'll listen to because they're nothing but B.O.B.s. And they had no business even being around a mob family.
Okay.
He took advantage of a 90-year-old man and made himself a made man. I've been a made man ever since I was 5 years old when I was... Ran it with my grandfather's ring. John Gotti couldn't make a good pimple on a good godfather's ass.
Okay.
He's not but a slime bucket.
Okay, so Gotti, so Hoppe's in bed with Gotti. They're hauling trucks, and Hoppe gets in debt with
he
other mob
He got John
bosses.
Gotti to hijack a $5 million truckload that belonged to Nicky Scarfo.
Okay.
He was Hoppe was supposed to get John Gotti to return that truck. He didn't get him to return the truck. Then he was supposed to make that load good out of his own pocket. And because he didn't do that, he got buried in the George Washington Bridge.
Okay. So they pick him up on the, he's picked up at the 295 truck stop. He stays for 3 days there. Then
he's at the campground for 3 days.
Campground for
then
3 days.
Then they took him out of the campgrounds and they stuck him in the truck stop.
And he's still alive?
Eh?
He's alive or dead?
He was alive.
Okay.
He was alive. He had
okay.
a gun put in his mouth. And he made him get in his own body bag and zipper it up.
Okay.
And then three guys go and they take a hold of him and they put him in the trunk of a limo. The limo then goes 8 o'clock in the morning over to George Washington Bridge to the highest point of the bridge. The guy who was vibrating 3-slump concrete down in the embutments of the bridge, the columns, he was paid $250,000 to remove the bag of garbage that was still alive in back of the limousine, and he put it down the embutment and poured 3-slump concrete on top of him.
Wow. Unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Eric, anything to add on that? Or I know you wanted to get on to a few other questions. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, Tony, about the relationship of the Mafia to the Archbishop of New York and any other archbishop you might know of. For example, I read in one of my works here in the library that Frank Costello donated the great big expensive doors to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And if you could add to any of the mafia contributing to the papacy and the archbishops of this country.
They were donated by the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
They were donated by the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't a church in New York City, a Catholic Roman church, that didn't get $150,000 a month from the syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
The whole illegal funerals. You know what I mean? You had a member where he died, laid out in closed caskets. Do you think there was a body in that casket? And the priest knew it too. But they were all paid off from the Vatican also. The Vatican runs and controls the syndicate of today. They control the drug trafficking within the United States.
Yeah, the Vatican, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That the crack down here in Mexico. They put a wall up in Mexico on the borders to keep the American people out of Mexico and yet let the Mexicans come in the United States. And when they come in, the United States government knows that they're running drugs with them, and the United States government is making money off the drugs.
Mm-hmm. So is the CIA working with the mafia in this?
The CIA, the FBI, the presidents. There ain't a president in this world that wasn't backed and paid off by the syndicate, the Cosa Nostra.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think not one Sicilian tried to run for President of the United States?
Tell us.
Because they run to the president. They were telling the presidents what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and if they didn't do it, you ain't safe in jail, you're not safe nowhere. You're going to catch a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Your word is your bond in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to live by the knife and get killed by the gun.
Now, you said earlier that the mafia, the U.S. government and the Vatican benefit more from the mafia and their activities. And one reason why you're coming forward is that you wanted to alert America to the big pedophile problem that we have and to help people understand. What do you know about
that? The priesthood, yes. With the
How
priest
does that
raping
work?
All these young boys and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
the Vatican is letting them get away with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're making pedophiles teach kids religion. I wouldn't even walk into a Catholic church today because it's a disgrace. I don't know which priest I'm going to walk into after doing 32 years of jail. I don't know what priest I'm going to be talking to. You think I want to talk to a pedophile priest? Somebody who raped a kid? I can't go that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand Leo Zagami, Greg, was saying how much the mafia in Sicily there can't stand the Pope because Benedict the 16th, he's also a pedophile and has a 24-year-old gay lover.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And another thing, when the Vatican it got hooked up with the Sicilian mafia, see, they had the Cosa Nostra of Italy. And then when the Sicilian Mafia took over and became more powerful, that's when the Vatican started having problems with Sicily. That's why the Pope got shot, for a warning shot.
Yep.
Okay.
And so the Vatican is deeply involved in the U.S. government, the CIA, the mob, all working together, correct?
Yes, even today. Where do you think you got here for a president today? That President George Bush. People can call him President George Bush. I call him Scumbag Bush. I ain't got no time for George Bush.
Is that the general feeling of the mafia?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
alone.
Is that the general feeling of the mafia dons, that they have no respect for George Bush?
No, they don't. They do not. They do not.
Huh.
You know, this country gave Bin Laden a lot of money. This country gave Hitler a lot of money. This country gave Japan a lot of money.
Yep.
As Japan ambassador was sitting in the White House on Pearl Harbor Day, and Pearl Harbor was being bombed, the United States government knew about it. But yet, what did they do? Nothing. They let the American Navy go over there, get wiped out. They let the American Army bases get wiped out.
Right.
Marine bases. They let a lot of us get killed over there.
And you're a veteran yourself, correct?
I put 4 years in Vietnam. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
guess what? When I was being shot at, and the snipers were in the rubber trees because the United States government, politicians, owned the rubber trees over there in Vietnam, people thought we were there to protect the South Vietnamese. No. We weren't allowed to fire back at people who were shooting at us in the rubber trees. We weren't allowed to fire back. A guy named by the name of Richie Capizzi in Wisconsin did fire back into them rubber trees. And he knocked down about 20 trees. They put that man in life in Leavenworth because he couldn't pay for the rubber that them trees would make in 20 years.
You know, I wanted to switch it here to the Kennedy assassination. I know Eric's been a researcher on that, and there's a little connection here I want to make first. And this is from a New York police detective, the former detective that's been on my show, named Jim Rothstein. And he had solid evidence that Cardinal Spellman, the former Cardinal Spellman, and he even says today Cardinal Egan, that they were involved in the pedophile ring. And he had solid evidence and wanted to indict Spellman. But the indictment was quashed, and all his evidence was quashed by the district attorney, who is still there now, Mr. Morgenthau.
That's right. He was paid off a lot of money from the syndicate to back off.
And I wanted to get your knowledge from the streets. Going into a man by who, this will kind of dovetail into the Kennedy assassination, but Mr. Rothstein, on his when he was still with the department until he was had to leave or they were going to kill him,
that's right.
He arrested Frank Sturgis, a.k.a. Frank Farini, when
right.
he came to New York to kill Marita, who was going to spill the beans on who was involved in the Kennedy assassination.
That's correct.
Now, I wanted to get your personal feelings about what was going on in the streets regarding what Mr. Rothstein, Detective Rothstein, said about Spellman, about Morgenthau, who is still covering up, he says. Is he still the DA there? Tell us what you know about these guys. And I'm sure Giuliani's involved.
Well, see, everybody was trying to cover up the Kennedy brothers.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And we were exposing the Kennedy brothers because Marilyn Monroe was killed by Jack and Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
That was one of my grandfather's top movie stars. Slime Bucket Sinatra was number two.
Okay.
D. Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. I mentioned these movie stars before.
Right.
Somebody had to get killed or somebody had to get hurt for these people to become a star.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ronald Reagan. The best thing he ever acted in his life was playing a part as an acting president. He couldn't act in Hollywood to save his ass.
So he was also helped by the crime family.
Yeah, he was helped by the crime family.
Yeah, I thought
he was a personal friend of Dean Martin and Sinatra.
Dean Martin had that man of the hour thing for Frank Sinatra. You've seen the idiots he had down there on that show. Terry Savalas, Palumbo, D. Martin, Sammy Davis was already gone, and then Red Fox, Red Buttons. All them people were backed by the syndicate. Every one of them people was on that show with D. Martin, with Frank Sinatra as the man of the hour.
Right.
And I told my grandfather years ago he should have had somebody plug Frank Sinatra. He was a barroom drunk. Then he went to start shooting up heroin. My grandfather tells him, clean up your act, clean up your act. Then he gets in the sing with the Dorsey's, big bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted to step on to become a movie star.
And that's the story
you
told about...
in the movie of The Godfather, part one, where you seen that nice prize racehorse's head in bed, or that producer, that was to get Frank Sinatra, his first leading part, in motion pictures. Mm-hmm. A beautiful horse had to get killed to help that slime bucket.
And
why
said
I call
that...
him a slime bucket? Because that slime bucket introduced the Kennedys to Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
The Kennedys are nothing but perverts, baby rapers, women beaters. They ain't no good. There ain't a goddamn Kennedy worth a penny in this United States.
Okay.
Because
and,
their father was in the same business as Al Capone and my grandfather was. They were racketeering bootleggers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Kennedy made his money, by bootlegging. And still today, every bottle of scotch that comes into this country, the Kennedys get a dollar for each bottle of scotch that comes in from Scotland. They turn around, along with this other crap, with Edward Kennedy, killing that girl with a .22 pistol. He put a bullet in the back of that girl's head.
That's Mary
Jo
Petheny,
right? He got out of the car. He geared that car up so it went in and over the cliff, because everybody wants to know where that blood come from that was on that girl's blouse.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Kennedy did not drive that car off the cliff. He killed that girl and put the car over the cliff, and he's a senator in Massachusetts. They're leaving a guy who killed a woman and made him a senator. I was told in 1990 that I killed 35 people. John Gotti said that. They gave me a triple life conviction on false evidence.
Right. And that,
then you turn around and you get Edward Kennedy killed the lady up in the Hyannis. The two Kennedy brothers, they killed Marilyn Monroe. John Kennedy Smith, he rapes a girl down in West Palm Beach, and he got away with that. What's wrong with these people in the United States?
Boy.
You know, I used to go out on St. Patty's night, because St. Patrick's night, St. Patrick number one was Italian. Okay? And this is for you slime bag Irishmen who are sitting out here listening to me tonight. I got a song that my grandfather gave me, and I took it to heart. And I used to sing it in Irish clubs on St. Paddy's night. And it went, oh, Irishmen, Irishmen, bow down your head. Go back to old Ireland, for Christ's sake, you're dead. Go back to old Ireland, and there you'll see how dirty and rotten the Irish can be.
Listen, Tony, you can finish that, or we'll get on to more. We're going to take a three-minute break. We'll be back with Tony Thomas Gambino and Eric Phelps after these short messages.
I can say I had a part of it. And I'm full on, I am.
Okay, we are back live on the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. We're back live with Tony Thomas Gambino, Eric John Phelps. And before, I want to get into what Tony knows about the Kennedy assassination. Earlier, he said he was in Dallas when it took place. But, Eric, do you have any questions finishing up on that, the idea, the connections in the Vatican in New York?
Yes, I wanted to ask Tony about his knowledge of the five mafia godfathers, if they were Freemasons.
Yes, they were.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they were. And they were highly decorated Masons.
Uh-huh.
They were the highest points of Masons that a man could be made.
So do you think, then, that's why J. Edgar Hoover protected them, because they were all brother Freemasons?
Plus, J. Edgar Hoover, he was also paid off to leave the syndicate alone, along with the Vanagon. See, if it wasn't for the Vanagon, the United States wouldn't be involved with this so-called drug trade that the American government is making millions and millions and millions of dollars over. That's why the United States bullshits the people, and they turn around and they say, they'll bust a little drug dealer here, they'll bust a little drug dealer there, or maybe one cartel down there in Columbus, but the United States government is not telling the people in this country exactly how much money that they're making by letting the drugs come in the United States.
Sicily. Now, come on, Tony. Don't you believe Fox News?
Huh?
Don't you believe Fox News with Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity? Don't you think they're telling us the truth now?
No.
Oh. I agree.
Do you?
Of course not.
Okay. No. It's all propaganda and lies. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like President Bush. All right, he killed the people on 9/11. He is the one that allowed them airplanes to fly into the Twin Towers. He was the one that allowed that Army fighter plane, shoot that plane over here in Somerset down in Pennsylvania with a missile. And he also allowed the other plane. Now, if I was a terrorist, and if I was already in Washington, D.C. with an airplane, and my target's the White House, I'm going to put that plane into the White House. I'm not going to hit the Pentagon. And if I didn't hit the White House, being ordered by my grandfather, I would be killed if I didn't do it.
Don't you feel that George Bush was taking orders from the Pope and being overseen by Edward Cardinal Egan of New York City?
That's right. And you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They also got the oil tied down. They're the ones that's causing the United States people to pay all this extra money for gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
To cover up their stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Bush has no business being president of the United States.
So the papacy benefits by high oil prices, correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's on today's market, the oil.
And what do you think about Bush's father, George Herbert Walker Bush? You know, he's a Knight of Malta, along with his brother, Prescott Bush Jr. There, he's a Knight of Malta.
Yeah.
And don't you think that he is even a greater criminal than his son?
Listen.
Yeah, what do you know about him? What do you know about George Bush?
There ain't no Bush person. Just like when the Bush brother in Florida, he didn't wait for them boats to come in. He cheated on them boats. George Bush wasn't elected.
For the boats.
They would have waited for them boats. George Bush would have lost. Elections.
Yeah, we were talking about the way they set up the election in Florida.
That's right.
Well, what do you know about George Herbert Walker Bush, the dad, their daddy?
He's nothing but a big crook. He's been a crook all his life with that oil bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because him and Iraq and other countries in the Middle East, they all had partnership in oil. The Bushes with the Texas oil wells, with them people, and they're the ones actually that invented the Alaskan pipeline, which is no longer used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had a brother-in-law who worked on the Alaskan pipeline. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's nothing to make the United States people pay billions and trillions of dollars they call tax money, and they ain't getting nothing for it.
Right.
Just like when Governor Ridge in Pennsylvania, he turns around and he with Clinton, and before Clinton, they were getting federal funded money to build prisons throughout Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania got 28 state prisons, and they're putting up their federal prisons now. They got 7 of them built, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for each inmate that goes into a state institution, they get $32,000 a year for each inmate. If you go to Lower Highlands, an inmate for older inmates as a medical facility, they get anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 a year for each inmate. You get a $32,000 a year inmate, and they force him to go to an AA, Therapeutic Community, TC, 12-step relationship-based program. They get another $48,000 up on top of that. Then they turn around and they put a sex offenders class in for these sex offenders. And they go and do this, they go to this sex offenders course. They take that program, they leave them out on the street, and they come right back out. And they don't even get out of the area where they got the bus to leave State College. They go to the campus and they start raping girls as soon as they get out of jail.
Yeah.
What are they learning in this program? Nothing.
Nothing. It's just a growth industry.
They're getting federal-funded money, and it's a money-making proposition. Ridge, he was allowed, and I still don't know how he did it, but he took federal-funded money and put the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections on Wall Street Journal. You can buy stocks and shares of the Pennsylvania Correctional Facility.
Yeah, that's
a disgrace. If you take the Pennsylvania Correctional Department and you close it up, Pennsylvania becomes a ghost town, the whole state, because that's the only way they know how to make money today, by putting human warehouses and getting paid to warehouse these human bodies. And Pennsylvania gets their convictions from plea bargains. They force a person, they scare a person to take a plea bargain. If you don't plead guilty, I'm going to see to it, the judge gives you 99 years. Mm-hmm. So the guy's going to say, I did it, I plead guilty. They're pleading guilty to crimes they ain't never did.
It's big business, Tony. And
this is big business.
And
right?
If you look at statistics around the world.
Bush's wife, down there in Missouri, she has a company down there, Keebler, and she's supplying all the prisons throughout the United States with their commissary. She takes commissary orders and ships the commissary to all these different prisons. That's another gimmick that the Bushes are in.
Yeah. Tell us, Tony, about the other mafia dons that used to give to the Catholic archdiocese and archbishops in this country. Didn't you mention Lucchese? Didn't he do that?
That's right. Lucchese, he went over there at least twice a month, and I know where we lie. He gave him an envelope of $3 million.
And that was to who?
That was the dues for the Vatican to back the syndicate.
Uh-huh.
And then when the syndicate started getting scarce and people going to jail, then the Vatican took it over on their own to control the syndicate like they do today.
Wow. So there's a direct connection between the mob and the Vatican today that's hidden because of their perfect cover, so to speak. Who's going to think a priest is involved, right?
That's right.
Well, how about the Sicilian mafia involved in the creation of the Russian mafia? What do you know about that?
They backed the Russians. They backed the Chinese mafia. Any mafia who ever started, the Sicilian mafia backed until the Irish mafia turned around and backstabbed them. Then that's when the wars were starting in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
With the Italian mafia going after the Irish mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they crossed paths. You didn't keep your word, you didn't keep your bond, you had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the killings on the street started. Well, this is what maggot-faced John Gotti was trying to do in the late 80s. Having, kill that son of a bitch, kill this one, kill that. That's all he said. And he had people go out and kill people in broad daylight on the streets.
Right.
And that's not good for business.
No, because we were already set up where we were running, owning hotels, casinos. We were starting big businesses. And then a scumbag punk like this comes along, and he wants to use his power by saying, kill him, kill him, kill this one, kill that one. No, he was not a business man to be in the syndicate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, tell us your real reason for coming forward now. You spent a long time in jail, and now you're out. Why are you telling us all this?
I did a lot of time in jail and on crimes that I didn't even commit. John Gotti said I killed 35 people. They couldn't prove that I killed 35 people. There was no witnesses, no nothing, just his story. And the government, they already had me in jail. So I was down in Florida, and this guy, this Jewish man, by Ralph Goldberg.
Okay.
Now, he has a brother, Joe Goldberg, in Battle Kenwood, who is a Jewish eye doctor. Now, his brother went down to Florida and started opening up these restaurants all through Florida. He opened up 25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest with you, the food sucked.
Okay.
Okay. And he called me up. I went over and I seen him a couple times. And he said he was going to do this, he was going to do that, he was going to do this, he was going to do that. And he wanted to work along with me. Well, Tommy Bogato, when Paul Castellano killed Carlos Thomas Gambino, Tommy Bogato was the third highest party of the Gambino crime family. It was Carlos Thomas Gambino, Sammy the Bull, then Tommy Bogato. Okay? Now, Tommy did not want to work for Paul Castellano. He wanted to pull out then.
Mm-hmm.
See? And he promised that he would work as long as Paul Castellano be made the head of the Klein family.
Okay.
Soon as John Gotti come into the picture, Tommy Bogato left the crime scene and became a minister in Georgia, in Savannah, Georgia. He has his church today.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But before he became that minister, he got in touch with me in Florida. And we were extorting this guy's restaurants. I was making this guy pay $150,000 a month for 25 restaurants. So I went to jail for racketeering, extortion, and the RICO Act.
Okay.
So I was already sentenced to do time. Okay. Then in 1990, I get yanked out of Marion, Illinois, taken to a trial up in New York. John Gotti's trial, and I get convicted of a triple life conviction because he said I killed 35 people for him. Sammy the Bull, they say Sammy the Bull was a snitch. No, Sammy the Bull was not a snitch. Sammy the Bull was handed a blank piece of paper from John Gotti. And John Gotti said the same to Bo. Here, I want you to sign this piece of paper. Sammy the Bull calls me up. He says, "Yo, this guy wants me to sign a blank piece of paper." I said, "Sammy, when did you ever sign a blank piece of paper?" Right? So he didn't sign the paper. And when he asked John Gotti, what are you going to put on this paper? John Gotti told Sammy the Bull that I'm going to put down all the killings that I named and I had completed by using different people that you were responsible for the people I had killed. Sammy the Bull says, "You are out of your goofy mind."
Ah, so he's going to set up Sammy the Bull, right?
He was going to set up Sammy the Bull.
And so in
Sammy
turn,
the Bull pulls away.
Right.
Right? And he was the only man that ever walked away like he did. And what he did was, he started testifying because John Gotti already was starting to testify on people. John Gotti was the snitch. John Gotti was the rat. John Gotti caused me 25 years of my life and $2.5 million to overturn a triple life conviction that I was sentenced to triple life because he said I killed 35 people.
Now, you got out, you just got out. How did that happen if you were sentenced to triple life?
Well, I had it overturned.
Okay.
I had it overturned.
Okay, so you
and
had
the government don't like that either.
All right. And now you have a parole restriction that you can't communicate with anybody in the mob, correct?
Right. They gave me strict parole thing where they even gave me a new identity and everything else. And I'm not allowed to leave where I'm at right now until 2011.
All right, okay. So you're... Okay, now what...
So I'm stuck like Chuck in a town I don't even know a can of paint in.
You can't go to New York and live again then, huh?
I can't go, if I go to New York, I can't visit nobody that I knew back in the day. I can't go to Miami for sure, because that's where I got popped with the extortion, the racketeering, and all that other crap.
Right. And I guess the question I wanted to ask again was, after getting out, you've decided to tell your story. Tell America, the listeners, why are you coming forward with this information?
Because after a while, you know, I'm sitting in my jail cell, and I'm listening to all this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that's all it was bullshit. Right? The way this country is being run, and the stories that the presidents are talking about is all bullshit.
Okay.
You know, when you got a president who actually took the Twin Towers down so he can get his hands on that gold that was underneath the Twin Towers for years from the day they were built.
And didn't you say your grandfather built that put the swamp end on there?
My grandfather's construction company built the Twin Towers. Yes, he did.
And then they work on the wall.
Of course, your grandfather...
Scarfo's concrete company.
Your grandfather was...
all the concrete in them buildings.
Okay. Go ahead, Eric.
What I'm trying to say is that your grandfather was dead, but it was his construction company that passed on.
He still had. See, my grandfather, when he passed away, he still had set up these businesses, and he had lawyers still today. There's lawyers who are running his business.
So the papacy in control of his businesses used those businesses to build the World Trade Center, right?
That's right.
And then to make it look like the Jews brought down the World Trade Center, they sold it off to the Jew Larry Silverstein so he could collect a big insurance policy when Silverstein's working for the Vatican and Archbishop Egan, right?
That's correct.
While at the same time it makes the Jews look guilty when in fact it's the Vatican who built the World Trade Tower to come down, they pulled it off, and then they could justify the crusade. Does that sound right to you?
Listen, you got the Catholics, you got the Muslims, you got the Jewish people, you got the Black Baptists, you got the Baptists. All the religions today are working together.
Yes, they are.
Yep, all tied with Freemasonry, right?
Listen, the Bible started the law. The law is the Bible of today. There is no more, like Pennsylvania, there's no more Pennsylvania Constitution.
Yep.
Pennsylvania was this was once in the 13 colonies. In 1790, Pennsylvania pulled out of the 13 colonies. The Constitution of the United States was written in Philadelphia. That Constitution of the United States has been amended and amended and amended and amended and amended so many times, you don't even have a Constitution of the United States no more. Since 1983, the Constitution of the United States now becomes the federal sentence and guidelines. You can't,
yep.
when they sit in the courtroom and they tell you that you violated Article 1, Section 8, 9, 10 of the Constitution, you didn't violate nothing. How in the hell can you violate a Constitution when you ain't got a Constitution to violate?
Good point.
And then you have these judges and district attorneys throughout the United States. Every year, every 4 years, a judge, a district attorney, any court official is supposed to take an oath of office every 4 years. They don't even have an oath of office no more. They're working out of the color of their office, and a judge can't even sentence a person or hold a trial without an oath of office. The United States people got to wake up, smell the coffee, and see how the government is ruining this country.
Yep.
Amen.
Hey, good point.
Yeah.
And we have a couple. We had about a minute or two left, and I just wanted to say this. We'll get to the Kennedy assassination on another interview. And if you want to go back to my old interview about a couple weeks ago with Tony, he talked about that. He was present on the Grassy Knoll, or not on the Grassy Knoll. He was in Dallas. It has inside information on exactly how this, how the Kennedy assassination came down, and we'll save that for another show.
But one thing about that assassination,
okay,
every one of his bodyguards was paid off to stay away from the coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody was standing around Kennedy's coach.
Exactly.
Because
Eric,
they were all paid off not to go near that coach.
Eric, any last question?
The guy was Ozzy Oswald. He was only a front.
Yeah. And the fatal shot came from the storm sewer, right, Tony?
The storm sewer along the coach. That's the bullet that killed Kennedy.
And who was in, who was down there, according to, from your knowledge?
I heard it was Roselli. Did you hear Roselli?
That's right. 100% right.
Okay.
And that man came out of the storm grate, walked across the grass like nobody's business, and got into a car on the other side of the field waiting for him, and they drove away.
Now, was Frank Sturgis there, too?
That's correct.
Okay. A.K.A. Frank Farini.
And why Kennedy got killed? Because he killed Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. And, you know, among other reasons, there were probably other reasons involved.
Well, the main reason was the vendetta that my grandfather had against their father. That's number one. Two, Marilyn Monroe. And three, the slimy bullshit of not paying off and keeping their word.
Okay.
Okay, Tony, pleasure to have you on, and nice to be with you, Greg.
Tony. Yeah, thanks, Eric. Thanks, Tony. We're all out of time. We'll get Tony Gambino on again. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, on the Investigative Journal. Until then, good afternoon.